the cameras on me. I'm just living the dream. I'm in love with the lights. This is not just a game. This here is my life. Put the cameras on me, yeah, yeah. Put the cameras on me, yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Los Angeles, California, it is the Brothers Miller, and we are back for the second time in 2018. This is The Ozone. I'm your host, Omar Miller. I'm here with my brother, Terry, also known as The Icons, with a Z. If you ever want to pick a social media fight, find him there.
Because I'm there for ya.
How you feel?
I feel like I'm ready to talk it up.
Man, you LA'd out. You banging LA hard, homie. What's happening?
I'm born in LA.
Rams, semi-jersey, sweater vest.
Ram time.
It's Ram time. The Rams blessed us with this. This is beautiful.
Good-looking Rams. Yeah, good season.
Uh-huh.
If only you'd have given Todd Gurley the ball.
We'd still be playing.
We could still be playing. I've lost the studio. All right, I'm back. So we got a lot to cover. We've been away for a little bit. Sorry, folks. I have been busy. We've been working. We're working in the lab. We got a lot of content to push out to you people. And the podcast has not been at the top of the list, but it will be henceforth now and forevermore. You have my word. We got a lot to cover. There's a very big fight taking place tomorrow night. Earl Spence,
the young gunner,
Earl Spence is ready. And he's facing Lamont Peterson. That big dummy. I don't want to call you a big dummy. It's just a funny joke, folks. If you grew up in an African-American home and indulged in the fruits of Sanford and Son, then you know what we're talking about.
You know about Lamont.
You big dummy, Lamont. It's about a junk man who lives with his son and badgers his life and ruins his self-esteem by calling him a big dummy all the time. In modern times, you could never call someone a big dummy all day. But in 1975, it was fantastic. It was a great child rearing.
You catch your case down.
Man, they take your kids.
Try to bring the kids down.
So we got Earl Spence looking to put hands on Lamont Peterson. Peterson is looking to make a comeback because he actually used to be a really good fighter.
He looked good.
He looks good now.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be a competitive fight.
I think so too, but Earl Spence is strap season, and he's young and hungry. And actually, he put Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman on blast for ducking him, and we'll get to that. Good. We got NFL playoff football happening. How about them Jags? Last year, Trucker Dave said that it was Blake Bortles' year, and he was a year too early. And it's very interesting to see that the final four quarterbacks, three of the four, are not people that you would expect to be there.
That's true story.
Yeah, we got Major League Baseball. The hot stove finally heated up. The San Francisco Giants are trying to make some action happen to make the National League West competitive, even more so than it was. They picked up some big sticks.
Andrew McCutchen.
Man, and Longo. It's Compton and Long Beach up there now. They just need to get some pitching. But I want to start off with a downer a little bit. And it is this gymnastics coach that we reported on when the story first broke. This terrible, terrible person, Larry Nassar, I do believe his name is.
Yeah, Nassar.
However you said it, Larry Loser, who molested hundreds of girls.
This is ridiculous. I mean, 100, what is it, like 125 or 128 that we know of?
Then that's that we know of. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how many are just don't even want to come out and you know what I mean, have tried to put it behind them?
This guy's got nerve, man.
People have killed themselves.
Yeah,
and
everything else that goes along with the whole thing of this predatory nature, you know, him just deceiving and taking advantage of these young girls. It's just very, very unfortunate because those families trust this guy with their daughter, which is a prized possession, and then this guy goes and takes advantage of the situation like that. And he's got the nerve to come out now talking about how he doesn't want to hear these people say their piece. Are you kidding me? Talking about it hurts his mental state. Well, you should have been hearing that off the top. Somebody should have been saying this to you from your life, beginning.
And he's crying, and like he's the victim.
Yeah, he's crying because he got caught. I don't really feel like he has any remorse.
You know what? I think this could be a case of demonic possession because this guy is so dark and so ugly. And you know, another thing that's terrible about this is that the age of these young girls that he was taking advantage of puts them in a position where a lot of them actually wouldn't know the difference between a medical exam and some sexual assault.
Right.
And so they're in a spot where the girls are thinking, oh, okay, well, he's saying this is for this or this is because of.
But it's uncomfortable, but, this is what they told me I needed to do.
Especially, and my dad left me with him.
Especially when your parents drop you off with this guy, and then you leave them in the care of the other two people who are legends in the world of gymnastics, and now he smeared their name.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
yeah.
Terrible.
He really brought them down.
Yeah,
too.
He brought them down. They've taken away their what is that school that they have.
Well,
the
and you know, and now openly, some of the women who were there now as adults testifying against them, against Larry Nassar, also in the post conference, put the Michigan State University personnel on blast, the administrators, because they were there and speaking to the media, because the media asked them, as they should, how can this go on? There's no way that this can happen over this many decades without some complicity from some other adults. And she tried to deflect, well, this is actually, it should be, today should be about the victims, should be about
that's what that's
Larry
about,
Nassar.
The victim, because there may be more.
I just, you know, it's a just a really bad scenario where people will look the other way. It's that Martin Luther King quote. I need to look it up, where he talks about Happy King Day, by the way, brother.
Yeah,
just passed on King Day just a couple days ago.
Right on.
Soul brother, right on. Where he talks about it's the silence. Yeah. It's not necessarily the voice of your enemy, but it's the silence of your friends that turns into a complicity that is deafening.
Right.
Because whoever it is, like that kid that walked in when Sandusky was molesting those kids in the right. shower, and then he just walked out and didn't say nothing.
Or even what the Hot Cheeto just said, you know, recently in a lot of those.
Why? What did this clown, what 45 say now?
No, just with him, with the senators not saying, coming out and saying that he said what he actually said about the African countries and things like
oh,
that.
Oh, right.
You know, and then they feel like it's power not saying anything. And that's just being derelict. You're trying to hide from a responsibility as a human being.
Well, what happens is if you walk in on some sort of crime or something like that, unfortunately, you've now been put in a spot. And we don't get
to call our spots a lot of times.
No, most of the time in life.
Especially as adults.
And that guy, the young guy that walked in on Sandusky in the shower playing grab ass with those kids and walked out and then, act like he didn't.
Coach.
Yeah, the coach. Yeah, the coach. You can't drop the ball in these situations. You just can't do it, you know? There's no option. And this is what's going on out there in Michigan. One thing that I wanted to speak on is this NDA scenario. Everything always goes by the wayside for the NDA. You know, you take some money
right.
and you have to now be quiet about whatever it is that happened. What's your take on the NDA stance?
I feel like I would break the NDA. I would take the money, then let them sue me
later. You
would
get your cheese.
Yeah, let them sue me later. Okay, well, I signed the NDA. Well, you're not supposed to say anything. Well, guess what? Let the court decide now. You can go ahead and think that that's wrapped up and everything else, that NDA is tight, meaning a non-disclosure agreement.
Yep.
And I still would say something, because not only should they be – this is not a reward. This is them doing this, paying these people out of guilt. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to clear their conscience. That's not acceptable behavior by any adult. And even the people who come up with the NDAs are out of line, because as a human being and your human nature, you know, this is not right. You can't take advantage of people and then say, oh, well, you know what? I'll just throw a couple of bucks at it and hopefully it'll go away. It works like that, unfortunately, a lot in society, but it's not right.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not right at all.
I'm not down with the NDA.
Yeah.
In these situations, if we're talking about an intellectual property or something, okay. But we're talking about crime against children? Are you kidding? Or against women or anybody? You know, this is we're getting sick.
Yeah, it's a bad position. And it's something that you just can't dismiss. There's nothing. No amount of money is going to restore that innocence, or no amount of money is going to push away those kind of things.
Right. You've basically re-hardwired a child, and they don't even know why they're thinking what they're thinking, why they're doing what they're doing now, because of something that you've done to them in the past. And you've created a behavior that they can't actually control, in a sense, because of this pervert.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, I just wanted to show love on the Ozone to all of those young ladies who are dealing with this, and every victim out there. And literally, to keep your head up and speak out. The power is in speaking out. You know, you have to tell the truth and shame the devil.
Yeah, that you definitely do. And then you also need to throw a gauntlet up and let the family handle him. Just let him go through that line and see if he can make it through the end of 125 parents that you actually molested their children. I don't think he'll make it.
I don't think anybody can make it through 125 beatdowns personally. But
wanted to distribute 125.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. Really, really unacceptable. Want to move on quickly. We got a lot to cover today. Want to move on into the world of baseball, folks. It's going down.
It really is.
It's going down.
But it's not completely going down.
It is completely going down. The Astros reloaded. I'm so impressed with Jeff Lunau and the Astros front office, I don't even know what to do with myself.
They're the best team in baseball again.
Just like that. Oh, yeah, you guys want to go beef up on all this muscle? Guess what? We went and got another ace.
Aces supercede the
hitting. Lineup is.
The only thing that could stop that kind of pitching are walks.
And speed. Yeah.
And they're not going to give up that many of that.
Gerrit Cole likes to walk people, but Justin Verlander ain't walking people.
Justin Verlander. And if they throw another piece in that bullpen, forget about it.
They got to turn Liriano into a closer.
Yeah, but even so, with the pieces that they have that they're moving them to the bullpen, it's going to be so much of an upgrade of what they had in the past. You're taking Brad Peacock and putting him in the bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that front five is ridiculous. Are you kidding?
The front five is over the top. I mean, truth be told, I'll go with Verlander as my ace, followed by Cole.
That's where it's supposed to be. But supposed to be Verlander, Keuchel, and then Cole. I would do the righty lefty.
You like that righty lefty?
Yeah.
I don't think it matters. When you got good stuff, you got good stuff.
No, but I've been locked up before by both.
I've seen it. But when righties come and it's another righty, it's not like, oh man, I'm so confused now. He's a lefty.
Ooh.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it. I'm just, if he's got the good stuff, he's got the good stuff, and I got to make an adjustment.
But what you do is that you're changing the lineup. You're talking about a 3-game series. So if you got a righty and then a lefty, I hear you. Then you have to make that adjustment in their lineup. And if you sat a guy down because he was going righty on righty or lefty on lefty, then he jumps in there and he's going against another ace, that's a problem. I mean, that's the best rotation in baseball.
Nobody can go that deep.
Nobody.
Nobody can go with three aces or anything like that. It's just not possible.
And Lance McCullers is turning into an ace.
And Charlie Morton looked like he was legit the
ace.
So if you were able to then place Brad Peacock, you could close with Brad Peacock. You could close with Liriano. There's a lot of options.
You just need to make that bridge. But what they
got to get a closer because Ken Giles is not.
No, he's not. Definitely not.
He that dude should be counting his lucky stars to have that ring.
Yeah, but you're talking about
he did everything he could to make sure that they were not World Series champions.
Yeah. But you're talking about bringing horses out of the front line, man. These guys are guys who can all go those, 7 innings, 8 innings.
I was just about
innings.
To say, all those guys are giving you 200 innings about for the season.
Serious,
you know what I mean?
They're the best team in baseball, again.
That's serious work. Now, I'm interested to see what the lineup does. Obviously, Altuve's going bang. Bregman's just going to get better. George Springer's just going to get better. But I'm interested to see if some of the other guys in the lineups are going to continue to progress. You know,
like who? Gurriel? Gurriel's been producing his whole life.
He's Dr. Dre. He's been producing for a long time. No, not
him.
Yeah. Keep their heads ringing. No, I don't even mean Gurriel. I'm talking about like the...
Well, you talk about more than half of the lineup that you just stated.
Yeah,
so, you know,
they really don't need that much, to be honest.
You get six good sticks in there.
That's more than most people have.
Come on, man.
Most teams. Now, in the curious case of Jay Bruce, I don't understand what Jay Bruce is doing, and I don't understand...
I don't understand what the Mets are doing.
The Mets don't understand what the Mets are doing. And Jeff is a homie. Wilpon is a great guy.
But you just signed another outfielder that you probably could have brought up from. You have Brandon Nemo. You have Conforto. So why do you need Jay Bruce?
Well, Conforto, they're talking about, may not be ready by the start of the season because of his injury. That crazy, weird injury that happened.
But even so, you know, they signed Adrian Gonzalez, but you just brought up the kid.
But this is what I'm saying. So now they're talking about Jay Bruce getting some reps at first base, but... Why you go Jay Bruce with Adrian Gonzalez?
I have no idea. This is confusion.
So you got Juan Lagares platooning, Cespedes in left, Jay Bruce in right, Gonzo platooning with Dominic Smith?
I don't even understand why we need all these first basemen when you got an up-and-coming stud like Dominic Smith. It's not fair to him. Because then what you'll put out there is that, you know, we need him to develop.
He was a bust. Yeah,
and he didn't get enough time.
Yeah, he didn't get enough ABs. To make that determination, I don't think so.
I mean, you're talking about them having Justin Turner, Daniel Murphy, and they got rid of both of them, and you got David Wright, who aged overnight.
Yeah, what can you do? That spinal stenosis was serious.
You got that kid that's the real deal, the shortstop. He is the real deal. What's the kid?
Not Wilmer Flores, you're talking about?
No. They have a kid that they brought up. We saw
With the kid we met. Yeah, Latin kid. I can't remember his name.
He's a stud. But,
Vasquez?
No.
Ah, what's his name?
We'll get
Anyways, we'll remember it.
But
I mean, the Mets are going, I have no idea. Matt Harvey is not the same. You have Thor and you have Jake DeGrom. And so how many games should you predict them to win? Maybe 40 or 50 at right now?
Wow, that's a low prediction.
What? How many can you give them?
I mean, they play the Phillies about 40 times a year.
The Phillies have upgraded.
The Phillies have upgraded. Phillies went out and got Carlos Santana to play the guitar.
Yeah, they did. Let me upgrade you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the Mets are doing. I just don't understand why Jay Bruce, unless it's a money thing, how do you go from the Mets? How do you go from a losing team with the Reds to a losing team with the Mets to the best team in baseball with the Indians back to then say, you know what?
I'll go with the Mets. Sounds about right.
Now, is it because of the dough, do you think? They gave him 3 and 39. Do you think that
was the time? Why would you take that, though? I mean, you're Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce is not old either. But for some reason, he seems like he's been around the league for about 100 years.
He seems like he's been a 20-year veteran in the league.
Yeah, but the problem is that
I just don't understand why you question guys.
You question guys. Yeah, you question guys who don't go to contenders. Did they sell him on that they're going to rebuild the team around him? Or I don't know what that was.
I mean, they have to rebuild it pretty quick. If that's the case.
I mean, if anything, he should have been trying to jump on them Giants. But he probably doesn't want to see Kershaw that many times.
You're only going to see him 5 times over the season.
5 times too many.
So take days off. That's what all these suckers do nowadays. Yeah. Take a day off since you're scared.
Yeah, because then you're going
to
get.
Just think of how great that lineup would have been if he would have went to the Giants. I tell you what, if the Giants, even though they're still, you know, banking on Brandon Belt and his power coming around.
They don't need it anymore.
But imagine if Brandon Belt just hits.
Yeah, if he just gives you consistency. If he can bat like 280, 290,
imagine
give you
if
15,
they got Eric Cosmer.
Bombs. Are you crazy?
That would be their lineup would be insane if they got Eric Cosmer.
Well, you know, this is a problem right now because they're talking about how all these free agents aren't signed and they're sort of trying to blame it on Tony Clark, you know?
For really?
Some yeah. I don't understand.
What is it? What TC got to do with the situation?
No, but there's something in the players. They're saying that they're having gripes and everything from the Major League Players Union Association.
Wow.
Yeah. But something about the players not being, you know, not all these veterans or free agents not being signed right now.
Wow.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, this is the deepest that I've seen where guys haven't been signed, you know, this deep into an offseason.
Yeah, J.D. Martinez said he's willing to sit out.
He should. J.D. Martinez has got to get his money right now.
Yeah.
And with the kind of year that he just put up, he deserves his bread.
Well, he put up a great year before that.
And he sure did. He had a breakout year before that. And people tried to act like it was because he was in that Tigers lineup.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean?
He went to Arizona and went even crazy.
He went stone nuts.
And now you're talking about him. They said the Red Sox offered him $1.25. For 5 or 6 years?
Ooh, I thought it was 100 flat. It's $1.25
they offered him? No, it's $1.25. Just came out with that breaking news.
Wow. Wow. And he didn't need 125, huh? Can you imagine the day you get to where you don't need 125?
That's a serious day.
It's a serious day. It's not even a joking day.
No, but it's very serious. I don't think that's going to suit me.
$125 million.
$125 million is real, man.
To swing the stick.
To swing the stick. Ooh. Are you crazy?
Oh, Jesus, didn't you let it happen for me? Jesus, God. Oh, yep, I love you, Lord. Just let it happen.
5 years, 125.
Wow. I mean, I don't get it. What's wrong with 25 each per?
I don't know. He's feeling himself, I guess.
He needs Kershaw, though.
Yeah, but if he signed that contract, I put them above the Yankees with the young talent that they have because I just like their pitching is through the roof, although they're trying to pick up Yu Darvish, the Yankees, that being the Yankees, but their pitching is really, besides Rick Porcello, the Red Sox are real. They have a really solid unit with those young kids.
The Yankees are nuts. I know you always want to put somebody ahead of them, but the Yankees have all of the tools. They have it all, especially if Chad Green starts.
Yeah.
Now,
I
think
one of those kids are going to have to start.
Especially if Jordan Montgomery. I really think people negate what Jordan Montgomery did last year.
Jordan Montgomery was a breakout.
He had a breakout season. He just got fatigued late. No, yeah. I think it was because of fatigue. Actually, I like what Girardi did there. And really, the person on the spot more than anybody is Aaron Boone. Because, in my opinion.
He might just feel like he can just put a lineup together and send it out there.
And it's not that, you know, that we all know that that's not how the chemistry works in Major League Baseball. He knows that. He was in Major League Baseball, you know,
right.
He's a veteran. But I really feel like with that scenario that they have out there, they're supposed to win in New York. And if Severino gives you Severino, when guys start to dominate like the way that Lou Severino dominated, they don't just disappear.
Right.
Like that dominance, that it carries over. That 97 you throw.
And with that hard slide piece.
It works. It works.
The reason why I don't try to put the Yankees down, I just don't feel. I feel like everybody gives them.
They got a great bullpen.
Yeah, they treat every year like as if the Yankees win the World Series. And
they do. Everybody acts like that.
Yeah, and you're talking about having Ben Attendee. If you can throw JD Martinez in there, you got that kid that they just brought up that's playing first and third. You have
Devers.
Yeah, you have Xander Bogart. I mean, and they
who needs a bounce back season? You got Mookie Betts.
You got Mookie Betts.
Just need somebody who puts the ball out of the park all the time.
Yeah,
no matter.
And that's
who,
JD Martinez.
And that's JD Martinez.
And Ben Attendee is not that far from getting there. And then you're talking about him being able to line off that wall and getting the gaps, and he's a big-time hitter.
I think Ben Attendee gives you 25 bombs. I don't think Ben Attendee gives you
– Yeah, but Ben Attendee is a 4.5-2 player, and
you,
I'm really
– You need a guy who's giving you close to 40 bombs, if not more. And JD Martinez is that guy.
And Mookie Betts ain't that far behind him either.
But I need a guy that's giving me that. Mookie Betts this year didn't get you there, and Mookie Betts is a monster. I'm not taking anything away from Mookie Betts. Right. And honestly, they got the best outfield in baseball because nothing is dropping out there.
Right.
Them boys run it down.
You got center fielders in every position.
In every position. They all can go get it. They all got a hose.
Yeah. So and then you got – then you sneak in Pedroia, and then – I mean, you got a solid unit, man.
It's a solid unit. That Yankee unit on paper is a lot more solid.
I don't agree because you're talking about Severino, but then you come back with Chris Sale.
Ace.
I mean, come on, man.
Ace.
And people try to
any given day, the best in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, so they have – and David Price during the regular season is very effective.
Right.
I think that they're
and
just –
And it seemed like he got his confidence back in that series against the Astros.
He really did.
I was happy for him for that because a couple times we've met David Price, he's been a cool dude.
Yeah, he is a really good guy. And then Drew Pomeranz, people act like Drew Pomeranz was devastating last year. And he's always been devastating when he got a chance to start. So, you know, they can match you.
I can't go as far as say he's devastating. He was effective.
Let's pull up some numbers.
Pull up the numbers. See what the numbers say. In the meanwhile, I'm going to go out to the best coast, talk about these Gigantes, because picking up Kutch, I believe Kutch is due for a bounce-back season. I don't know what it is that went wrong with Andrew McCutchen. It seemed like there was something maybe happening in his personal life or something, but I think he's going to greatly benefit from a change of scenery, and that change of scenery is going to have him sandwiched in between Evan Longoria, Buster Posey, and Brandon Belt. And I think that's going to go a long way. That lineup is going to finally start being able to produce some runs. They don't necessarily need to hit bombs, but even though Longo's going to give you 30 bombs, he's shown you that. Evan Longoria hits 30 home runs regardless of who's in the lineup. That's what he's going to do.
Well, you're saying a bounce back season for Andrew McCutchen, which he's not what he used to be, but he's still bat 279 with 28 bombs.
I mean, those are great numbers.
Come on, man. I can't be mad at those numbers.
Can't be mad. I'm just talking about the feel of it because there was a feel that Andrew McCutchen was the best player in baseball for about 3 years.
Yeah, and right now he was out there by himself. He was sort of on an island by himself out there in Pittsburgh.
How's that?
What did he have around him?
I mean, you know, Starlin Marte let the team down.
Yeah. What did he have about him? He didn't have it. Obviously, he needed protection, and he didn't have any.
Yeah. Yeah, and he still gave you 28 bombs. But I don't know what happened to his defensive center fielder.
Drew Pomeranz, 3.32 ERA, 174 strikeouts in 173 innings. I mean, he was 17-6. That's above average.
It is above average. When I think devastating, I think Chris Sale and Kershaw, though.
But that's devastating right there. You're talking about more strikeouts than innings, and then you're talking about an ERA under 3.5. And you have 17 wins. So, I mean – they're not the Astros, but they're definitely there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're there. It's going to be a great baseball season. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And what do you think about the Blue Jays getting Grichik? Randall.
That's great for Randall Grichik, but I think that Randall Grichik is going to run into a problem because he has a lack of discipline unless he's changed a lot in the offseason because he strikes out too much. And you're going into a division where we're talking about these pitchers that we just got through speaking of. It's carving time.
It's time to go to Lowry's. It's the carvery.
Thanksgiving. You know, so he's going
to – you're the prime rib.
Yeah. Either he's going to ambush them or they're going to completely ambush him.
And I don't think there's a middle.
And I'm putting my money on them.
Yeah. You know what? He'll have great games against the Orioles.
Wasn't he drafted in front of Mike Trout?
I think so. Yeah. Came up and hit that bomb off of Clayton Kershaw. Yeah. I remember he made his presence felt.
Yeah, he's a stud. I mean, it's
– I like his confidence. I also like something I saw on Twitter the other day with Chipper Jones.
What did Larry say?
Chipper Jones, somebody was having an argument about hitting, and then...
With Chipper Jones?
No, just, I think, alone. And then Chipper was monitoring the conversation. It was a kid. And they were like, and the kid had a video up, and he's like, man, why can't I get my swing on a level plane? Somebody said something about, it's not about a level plane. Look at Chipper. He had an uppercut swing. Then somebody put out a video, like a thing, and said, a meme. It wasn't even a meme. It was just an actual picture of Ted Williams' swing, a diagram. That's what I was looking for, the word I was looking for. And it says Ted Williams preached plane, getting your bat on a level plane. And Ted Williams was way better than Chipper Jones. And Chipper Jones chimed into the conversation and said, totally unnecessary.
He got his feelings hurt. He said, caught the moment.
He said, totally unnecessary to make your point. I hope you get your swing together. God bless. Chipper Jones, we got to hang out with Chipper a couple times, man. Larry Jones. Oh, man.
And he got in the seats that game, too.
Are you crazy? He got to see both games.
Yeah, remember? At Will.
He got to see both games because we went down there.
Come on, the base is sideways.
Uh-huh. Larry. Hey, what's up? How y'all boys doing?
Larry's cool dude.
I love Chipper Jones. Man, oh, man. I hope he gets in the hall. I hope they don't play games and throw Chipper in the hall straight away.
Oh, man, come on. That dude's a stud, man. The dude was a switch hitter. And then they messed him up, I felt like, a lot by putting him in the outfield. Let him play third base, man.
Right.
Why did he need to move?
Yeah, he didn't. I don't think that he did at all. Want to end up the baseball segment on this little piece with your boy Ben Tendi and see what he had to say.
Kind of how everything works. And I know all the guys, obviously, so and know how to prepare for a full season. So in that regard, yeah, I think so, and just kind of looking forward to getting down there and getting started.
Is your offseason plan been what it was last year? Like, I remember FanFest last year, you added a bunch of weight. Like, mm-hmm. Are you just maintaining that this year? How have you approached it?
Still trying to add weight. I've added more weight this offseason, and I think I'm going to try to maintain it better this year. But last year, I mean, I felt good physically. So just trying to stay healthy the whole year, it's the most important.
He cut his locks. He cut his hair. Yeah. That's what I was showing you.
He let the mane flow.
Shortcut. Add a little weight. He's trying to get some weight. I can't imagine needing to gain weight. It's just an unbelievable concept.
Hey, man, that kid was 20-20 last year. 20 stolen bags, 20 bombs. He bat 271. It's good money for a 23-year-old.
It's good money.
In the show.
You crazy? He was not overwhelmed by the league.
He wasn't impressed. I think they played him out a little bit because they started sitting him sometimes against lefties, which was unfortunate.
Well, that was when he had to get his mind right. He went in that slump, and John Farrell messed with his brain, and it worked. He came back banging when they took his spot.
He almost hit for the cycle one game, right? Or did he? I mean,
I don't think he did, but he almost did. He went nuts. Moving on. It is January, folks, and that means it's time for the NFL playoffs. We missed you last week for some great games. Some great games took place last weekend. And an air phantom tackle, which cost Who Dat, which is unbelievable because I actually thought Who Dat was going to the dance.
I did too, personally.
Drew Brees is a winner, and Drew Brees can get you there.
And you were talking about just literally, you never are able to say that one person cost a team like that. And this time, you can put your finger on there and say, this guy hurt the team.
And all because he not only missed the tackle, but then he tackled his own man.
He knocked his defender out of the game.
You know what? I'm not going to put it all on him, even though that specific play is on him, because this is such a microcosm of life and American life in particular, because the kid just made the big interception to turn the game around. And then he just got overzealous and tried to blast the guy instead of just wrapping him up and letting the clock run out.
I think that it looked like to me, I haven't, of course, spoken to the kid or whatever, but it seems like the rules might have hurt him as well.
I agree with
he
that.
He was caught in between of hitting a defensive receiver and then also making a tackle and hitting the guy. And it's his job to stop this guy. So in the moment, it looks like he might have got caught up in the moment as a rookie. But if he would have thought it through, you know, anticipated more, so he would have known that he needed to wrap him up and just let the clock die. They couldn't have got a team on the field in less than 9 seconds.
No way. And if they did beat me with a 50-yard field goal, don't beat me with that miracle to the house. Yeah.
And I honestly, everybody's talking about it, but I take Nick Foles over Minnesota for the simple fact is that Minnesota doesn't play outside. They play in the cold weather state.
City. Yeah, exactly. State.
But they don't play in the cold. And now they're gonna have to go out to Philadelphia and play. And the Saints really showed that they can, you know, that they showed some holes in their game. And when it comes to the running game, I'll take their running backs, meaning I'll take
the Eagles,
the Philadelphia Eagles running game over Minnesota's.
Wow.
Yeah, because you're talking about McKinnon and Latavius Murray over blunt force trauma and Jay Ajayi. That's a serious running game. And
I do like the Vikings D though.
Yeah, and I like Philadelphia's D. Philadelphia's D is pretty good too.
Yeah.
And when you talk about
they got a winner over there, yeah. Chris Long. That guy, he's a champ and he knows how to lead the defense.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the things that I think that not a lot of people are bringing up is about Jeff Fisher. He's had three quarterbacks.
Speak on it.
Uh-huh. In the playoffs.
Three. Yeah. Yeah. And that he couldn't make any noise with.
He hasn't been able to go to the playoffs or anything with these guys. And somebody said, well, I heard someone say to the point that, well, you know what? He's got two players that's playing in a championship game, but he had three quarterbacks in there and he couldn't even make it to the playoffs with these three guys. That means that he's maybe a good scout. That doesn't mean that he's a good coach. He was a terrible coach, and he hurt the Rams.
And you know how much Jeff Fisher cares?
Not at all.
He does not care, because Jeff Fisher is out somewhere counting his $45 million extension.
I mean, man, how long did it take you to count that?
He's still counting from when he got the extension last year. I think he's still only in about $3
million. Are they ones?
He might want to grab some at the strip club. I don't know, but that's a really good point. Case Keenum, Jared Goff.
Nick Foles.
And Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jeff Fisher would probably say, actually, the reason they're there is because of me.
Yeah.
It's because I put them through the paces early and developed them into the kind of players that they are today.
He can't say that about Jared Goff. He wouldn't even let him look at the field.
Man, Goff's coming into his own.
He looked great. We were at the Rams game, and he looked great. He looked above average.
Looked above average. Let's hear what our caller has to say about the situation.
Hey, fellas.
Truckler Dave, live from the States of United. He's out there, ladies and gentlemen, in this tough weather. He's living la vida loca. He's our football correspondent, Trucker Dave. How you feeling? Your team is coming up on a big game this weekend. What do you think about the rumors? Is Tom Brady hurt?
I think it's kind of overblown with the Tom Brady rumors. I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's just fine with the rumors.
It almost feels like a little subterfuge, a little mind play, a little mind freak going on from New England. But I heard a rumor from some inside sources that said his hand is actually broken. And they're going to have to do the boogaloo and stab up his hand with, you know, all of the magic football potions to get him on the field. At which point, everybody's talking about the decision to trade Garoppolo.
I know, I saw that too. But, you know, I heard it was actually his thumb. So
yeah, yes.
But I know one thing, he's going to be ready to play.
Yeah, believe that. But everybody believes in the legend of Tom Brady. If it happens this time, you know, I mean, I think, truth be told, for the Patriots, I really feel like the Patriots Super Bowl comes on Sunday. I feel like the Patriots have a better chance of getting beat this Sunday than they do in 2 weeks.
I do too. But you know what? If they have to play Minnesota with Minnesota's defense.
And in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be real tough. But I think the Patriots are going to have an advantage at the running back position, because what they can do out of the backfield is going to be – it should be spectacular. You're getting Burkett back from an injury. Chris Hogan is going to be out there. So it's going to be some wrinkles, man. I'm looking for a good game.
And Jacksonville is a warm-weather team going up there to play in Foxborough.
Yeah, but they just wouldn't play in Pittsburgh.
I hear you.
And the temperature would be 45, though.
Oh!
I'm taking Jacksonville.
Yeah, I am too, actually. And I
whether
think
Tom Brady's hand is hurt or not,
I agree, because if Blake Bortles can just not blow the game, the defense can actually beat them.
I don't even think it comes down to Blake Bortles. I think it comes down to coaching. And, of course, Bill Belichick is better than their coach. But the thing of it is that all you need to do is run the ball. Commit to the run, period. Whether you get 10,000 yards or 100 yards, just commit to the run. Back in the day, you saw that if you committed to the run, whether you got 100 yards with O.J. Anderson or whether you got 200 yards with Marcus Allen, the run is going to win you the game. Running and defense wins right now.
Well, but I don't think they're going to let Leonard Fournette beat them. I think they want Blake Bortles to beat them.
I agree.
That's going to be a big factor, especially if you get Alan Branch back on the defensive line.
Well, here's the thing for me. I don't think it's Leonard Fournette. I don't think it's Blake Bortles. I don't even think that it's Calais Campbell that beats the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. I think it's a guy named Tom Coughlin that's in the upper office who actually knows how to beat the Patriots, that if they pull off this win, it's going to be because he's had this experience before and he knows how to do it. Now, the one thing that we do know is either the Patriots are going to blow you out or it's going to be a tight game. We have yet to see the Patriots get blown out. even though the Falcons should have completely and totally blown them out, they didn't get it done. And so what we know is Tom Brady has turned into must-see TV. It's a trip because Tom Brady is like how Michael Jordan was in when he came back. You have to watch Tom Brady and the games. And it's just crazy. It's a crazy thing to think that now you're literally watching the living legend, a lot of player people who believe that he's the greatest football player of all time that may step on for the last time coming up this Sunday.
Right. I think they go too far with the greatest football player of all time.
I know. I think they go too far, too. But I'm just telling you what a lot of people will say.
Right. And then when everybody's comparing him and saying he's the greatest quarterback of all time, I don't agree with that either. He's not better than Joe Montana. Joe Montana and them, they played in a completely different era, whereas they played defense, not like this corporate style of defense that they play now where you can't even look at a receiver. The guys are faster now and everything, and you can't touch them after 5 yards. And there's so many flags flying that you can't even enjoy the game. I mean, there's so many commercials during the game that the guys get cold. Back in the day when Joe Montana was playing, they designed the defense, the 46, to try to stop him. And they got him the first time, but when it came down to it, they didn't stop him. I mean, so Joe Montana, to me, is better than Tom Brady.
Even I would say that, too. You know why? Because you have to look at the errors and the rules that's been changed.
Yeah.
And look at who he played against. He played against Lawrence Taylor. He played against, you know, guys
the Redskins.
Actually.
The Bears.
The
Raiders.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is going to be a good game because – I think the key to the game is up front. Calais Campbell, you know, the nose tackle that they got from Buffalo. Malik Jackson, who gave him a problem in Denver. So if you get a good front four rush, and the key to the game is third down. Who's going to win on third down?
Huh.
That's going to tell you who's going to win the game. Whoever wins on third down is going to win the game on both sides of the ball. And Blake Bortles did it on third down last week.
Blake Bortles has been doing it.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles, he's a completely unorthodox looking dude.
Right.
But he's been getting it done. And in that, I'm a big believer, and as a baseball player to the core, I'm a big believer in unorthodox and not changing unorthodox because right. I've seen it in several sports where coaches, fans, pressure in general, change your unorthodox ways, which are effective. Tim Tebow, people hated him because they said he was unorthodox, but Tim Tebow didn't do nothing but win.
Right.
He didn't do nothing but win, man. I watched some of his highlights today. I was like, man, that was Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, flat pass
touchdown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, threw for 316 yards. Give you that John 316.
Yeah, well, you know what, too? And the Patriots – pass defense is not that good. So what they want to do is to make you one-dimensional. So what they're going to do is, like you said, they're going to stack the box, try to get Leonard Fournette to not run the ball. But I would run it anyway. And Blake Bortles is smart enough because they're going to be turnovers in that game. But if you can make Tom Brady stay on that sideline and pound that ball, especially with a messed up hand, you're going to be effective. You just need to keep him off the field, especially when the rules nowadays are designed for the passing game. It's an offensive league, you know. And then when you find a team that has defense, it's an anomaly.
That's a lot easier said than done, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot easier said than done. And one thing that you didn't mention is that last week the Patriots had 9 sacks. If they get pressure on Blake Bortles, even though if you get a couple of three and outs on Tom Brady, if you guys don't score a touchdown because New England's defense is like, I think, less than number 5 in the red zone, they're giving up touchdowns. So if you go down there settling for field goals, pretty soon you're going to find a way to score. They might double team Gronk. But that's going to leave somebody else open.
Yeah, but you got to have time to pass it. I feel like with them, what they did, Jacksonville went for it on fourth down last week, which is very, very impressive. And the Patriots actually went and had got all those sacks because they made the team commit to passing. Once they get the lead on you, they want to make you pass. They know what you're going to do, and they get to pin their ends back, right? Because they know that you're going to pass, and so they just send everybody. And what can you do?
Okay, do you really think the NFL is going to let them lose on Sunday?
There you go. And now let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. And Trucker Dave, you are spot on.
Yeah.
And this is the only thing that's keeping me from making a wager.
Yeah.
Is that the
line went down from 9 to 7. I mean, with the injury reports. And if I'm Jacksonville and I heard that his arm is injured or whatever, I'm going after it.
You know
that's
they are.
Me personally, man.
Well, I'm realistically, the thing I like about the Jacksonville defense is that they're going after it whether your arm is hurt or not. Them boys are serious out there, and Calais has brought the D from Arizona, and they have all rallied around him. He led that team. I think he had 14 and a half sacks this year.
Yeah.
And yeah, and he went over there and changed the culture of their defense. And that right. defense
they had great defense already.
They already had great defense. And they have the kind of defense and the scheme like how Baltimore used to give Tom Brady problems. The right. teams that have given him problems, I'm not going to say their defense is as good as that Ravens defense was. Right. I didn't say anything like that.
Yeah,
but
that's far-fetched.
It's not like that. But what we've seen from the Giants, from the Ravens, from the handful of teams that have had playoff success against Tom Brady.
Put pressure on the quarterback.
It is about putting pressure on Tom Brady without the blitz.
Right. And then you're talking about if you get hurt him, then you're bringing in Brian Hoyer. Are you kidding? That game will be a blowout.
Yeah, that game will be over. But tell me this. Who has got an answer for Deion Lewis?
Who's got a – out the backfield? If they put a spy on him, they should be all right because everybody should know that. But what they forget about Deion Lewis is James White because what they do is
– Deion Lewis, my friend. Go back and look this whole year. Deion Lewis is making noise.
He is. But look, watch what happens in the playoffs. All the time in the playoffs, they go to James White. James White is the go-to guy. Using wheel routes and all these other little crossing routes underneath with James White out of the backfield.
Well, what do you do if they take all three of them, put them out there together? That's what I would do because that's a look you haven't seen before. I'll take Burkett out, put him in the slot. I'll take Deion Lewis out of the backfield and put James White in the other slot. You got problems, man. It's mismatches all over the field.
Ooh, it's going down. It sounds like must-see TV,
baby.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Yeah, it's happening. Now, real quick, how do you feel about the NFC game? How do you feel about the Vikings and the Eagles game? Want to get your prediction on that?
I like the Vikings all the way. I mean, the Vikings are the truth, man. They really are the truth. Even though that was that play was
a total
fluke.
It
was like a miracle. Yeah. But at the same time, you don't want to give a team like that life.
They got, and this gives them a lot of momentum.
And they've been doing it the
whole
year.
It does, man.
They've been doing it the whole year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they won it all, man. I mean, that's how good they are, man. Case Keenum is doing just enough. And that's all you got to do, just enough.
That's
why I feel about Blake Bortles.
This is what Peyton Manning has shown everybody. And that, you know, and not that he did just enough for the majority of his career. For the majority of his career, he was stone cold stud. Yeah, that final run where he got his ring, his last ring, he was doing just enough. And
that's what I told T. He disagreed with me.
I disagree. I don't feel like he did just enough.
He's got the ring.
Win that game.
He got the ring. What else can he do?
The defense did just enough. He didn't do just enough.
No, that's not
Peyton
true.
Manning, they were third and long. They didn't even pass the ball. They wouldn't even pass the ball.
Go back and look at
it. I have looked at it several times. It wasn't him who did anything. I mean, literally, you could have got any just like you got the Trent Dilfers and the Brad Johnsons who got rings. That was worse than what they did. He didn't do anything.
You sound ridiculous right now because he has the ring.
Whatever.
He's the Lord of the Ring.
But so does Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson. That doesn't mean that they did what they had to do.
Yes, it did.
Hand the ball off.
Well, you know because what? Let me just tell you something. Because if not.
Just by him being on the field, he knows what coverages they're going to be in.
Yeah, but he wasn't passing the ball. How many passing attempts did he even have in that game?
Yeah, but look, go back and look at his third. What he did on third down.
He didn't do anything on third down because they wouldn't even pass. Okay. When it was third and long, he didn't even pass.
They weren't in that many third and long.
Yes, they were. Actually.
Well, but here's the thing.
They just conceded.
He did enough. He got the ring. I don't understand how this is an argument.
Super Bowl night.
I don't understand.
That's not enough.
Let's look at these numbers. Somebody else who was a stud his whole career who did just enough to get his ring was John Elway. In 1998, the Super Bowl, John Elway went 12 for 22. He only threw for 123 yards. He had one pick.
And he ran for a touchdown, right?
And how about this? In Peyton Manning in 2015, he went 13 for 23 for 141 yards, one pick, and his QB rating was only 56.6.
Yeah, there you go. He didn't do anything.
What are you talking about? He managed the game.
But what did John Elway do?
That's what John Elway did. Those are the same numbers. That's what I'm trying to tell you. His QB rating was 51.9. And guess what?
And they both relied on their defense.
Well, he relied on Davis. But you couldn't stop Terrell Davis in the pitch. But the point is that it's a team game. It's not a one guy game.
But he didn't do enough. He didn't. It wasn't him that won that game for him.
How can you not hear yourself?
I would never agree.
Sunday, if Blake Bortles throws for 150 yards and Leonard Fournette runs for 200 yards on the Patriots, and as long as Blake Bortles doesn't do anything catastrophic to blow the game, you know what he did? He did enough.
Okay, that's what you said.
He just did enough to win 45-42. Would I rather have Blake Bortles as my quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger or any of these other dudes?
Leonard Fournette almost had three touchdowns by the half in the first quarter.
Which means that Blake Bortles did just enough. Everybody's playing their position. What you're saying right now is the equivalent of saying that because Jose Altuve didn't hit a bomb in the game, he didn't do enough. He didn't do enough that you can say then that Gurriel didn't do enough.
That's not the same.
Everybody has a position to play in every sport. We're not talking about tennis. We're talking about boxing.
We were talking about with Trucker Dave. I want to see what he did in third down completions. And did he throw any third down?
Well, look at Phil Sims. Phil Sims did the same thing.
Same thing.
He did just enough.
Yeah, with O.J. Anderson.
He had one good Super Bowl, you know, where he had the completion record. But more times than not, his defense was so strong, he didn't have to do that much. They had Joe Morris. They had Marco Varo. They had, you know, he didn't have to do – they didn't count on him one player to win the game. That's what I was just trying to say.
But
We got to keep arguing with you every year about it.
because you guys are wrong, as usual. And then later on you come back and say,
"Oh, put the boxing gloves on." Yeah.
You know I'm there too. These ones and twos.
Oh, my goodness. This guy. I don't understand. I don't know what else he could do. He got the ring. He got the ring, and when you look at the end of the game wasn't even close. What can you do? What else can he do? It was 24-10, and I wanted the Panthers to win bad to make the argument that exactly the T is making right now. I wanted that, but I can't make that argument because Peyton Manning is at the house with his ring. I don't get it. I don't know.
So does his brother, right?
So does his brother. Who did just enough?
And his brother did more than just enough.
No, he did just enough because Tom Brady left both of those games with the lead.
Yeah, but he moved the ball.
So what?
Peyton Manning never moved the ball in the Super Bowl.
The ball moved up and down the field.
Yes, he did.
What Super Bowl
did he move the ball in?
He just moved the ball in this Super Bowl against the Panthers. He got some big conversions.
He did. Okay.
Did you not watch it? Are you having amnesia right now?
You guys are on narcotics.
He wasn't the Peyton Manning of the Colts, but he moved the ball.
Yeah, he moved the ball.
And what else he did he kept control of the ball.
How can you move the ball with a 56 passer rating and 150 yards? How are you moving the ball?
Because you mix it up with hands off.
He moved it on third down.
Where did you get that? He did not do that.
He moved the chains. That's what he did.
He moved the chains, man.
And ultimately, he moved into the jeweler's store and got his ring. Whatever we're talking about is a moot point. I don't even want to continue this argument. I don't understand what else I don't get it. He's over there typing away furiously at his thing to try to get these Super Bowl stats together
because you guys keep acting like Peyton Manning did something on third down, and I know that he did not pass the ball on third down.
Now you keep trying to change the argument.
I'm not changing the argument. That's what Trucker Dave said.
He did just enough is what we're saying.
He did just enough.
You guys just said that his third down conversion was the difference. It's not the difference. He didn't do anything on third down.
But they
won the Super Bowl.
Convincingly.
Because first and foremost, the Panthers receivers can't catch the ball. That's first and foremost.
Okay. Who got the ring?
Obviously, we know who got the ring. You guys asked me, how did he win?
He didn't get the MVP.
It wasn't because he did enough.
We're not saying that he was the MVP. Von Miller was the MVP. What we're saying
Von
is...
Von Miller did enough.
Von Miller did more than enough. You're talking semantics right now. That's more than enough. Whatever, man. Anyways, Trucker Dave, glad to have you on air. Sorry to get you riled up with the nonsense of my brother Terry, but it's good to have you. Where are you at right now?
We're out here in Illinois.
How's the weather?
Oh, it's pretty warm. It's about 40 degrees today.
Good. All right, well, be careful out there. We'll check in with you after the game and see how you feel.
Okay, fair enough.
Be safe.
All right. Later.
All right.
Wow. Spirited conversation
with
Trucker Dave. Wow. I don't know where you're coming up.
What are you talking about? I'm trying to find that these third down conversions that you guys, this mythical third down conversion.
No, you guys, this is Trucker Dave just said about the third downs, but what I'm telling you is he did enough.
He did not.
Either way it goes, we got one more caller that wants to chime in on he's a longtime Vikings fan, and he wants to give us 2 cents on that college football game we didn't cover. Here it is.
Hello.
Next victim, ladies and gentlemen. Longtime Minnesota Vikings fan, college football expert. Let's jump right into it. We just got into a spirited discussion with Trucker Dave about whether or not Peyton Manning did enough in Super Bowl 50, and somehow or another, you know who thinks he didn't do enough, despite him having a ring. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't even want to start on that. Tell me why the Vikings win on Sunday. Tell me about that phantom tackle, and tell me why the University of Alabama refuses to invest in a kicker.
All right. Vikings is just an overall better team matched up against Philadelphia. Bigger receivers, quicker receivers, better offensive coordinator. Defense is neck and neck. You just pick one on who has the better day on that given day.
Hey, Tip, hold on a second, man. We're having technical. For some reason.
We've always had this kind of problem with this phone. Is he using a speakerphone? Is he using a headset? What is he using?
Tip, you on speakerphone or headset or anything? Or are you just holding the phone?
No, I'm live.
He said he's live.
To the ear.
Live. OG the kitchen style, flow to the ear. So you know what? I'm just gonna call you right back. We'll just start right over at the same spot because some reason it doesn't sound. It sounds like it's like static or something.
Yeah, it's really, really crackling.
Let me call you right back. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Hear me back.
Yeah, it's like I think his mic might be messed up on his phone.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
He really coming in snap crackle pop.
Yeah, he is. Crispy.
Yeah, it's extra crispy.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, man, there's nothing we can do about it. I think you got a headset? Because I think something wrong with your mic.
Hold on, I'm in the car, so let me turn the car on.
Oh, yeah, maybe Bluetooth will make it. And you know what? Sometimes when you do the Bluetooth, it's clear than when you're coming out of the job.
Yo.
Wow. He came in. You coming in with that false gate app. You coming in hot. I take off my earpiece. Oh, man. You're busting my eardrum.
With the weak speakers, you got some 6x9. So.
Hey, so just go back. Just hold on a second. Just keep talking. Ernie, try to level him out, see if it'll work. Go ahead, Tip.
Yo, 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 Vikings.
There's nothing we can do? That's all right. It just sounds like a phone call, so it is what it is. But, yeah, just go back. Go back phone to the ear, please. I'm sorry.
All right, let me see.
And then I'll count you back in.
Phone to the ear.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You crispy right there. I don't know what happened. All right, so next victim, you got a rant because I'm looking for one right now. Tell me what happened in that miracle game with the Minnesota Vikings that who that should have won. Tell me why the Vikings will beat the Eagles. And tell me why the hell Nick Saban won't blue chip some kicker as he does with the rest of these families.
Yo, the Vikings with the Hail Mary or whatever you want to call it. I've been hearing the lucky pass, the miracle, Minnesota miracle. Hey, it's a football play on both sides.
Okay.
So plain and simple. Stephon Diggs, you know, made a big catch. I really think that New Orleans defensive coordinator should apply a little bit of more pressure
right
on the either a spy or just try to blitz somebody from the corner position to get the ball off. Early on a slant in the middle of the field, they had to go 40 yards. The kid, Stephon Diggs, ended up catching a 40-yard reception or 20-yard reception and, you know, taking it to the house. So is it a miracle? No. It's a play that was made by the quarterback, a play that was made by the receiver, and a play that was missed by the defense. The kid put his head down. He may have got there too early. Maybe he was overthinking and overanalyzing the play in that split second, in them 10 seconds. So he didn't want to hit the receiver too early to cause the penalty, which would have been, you know, pass interference and put them in field goal range anyway. So it's a bunch of elements that, you know, that took place. But, hey, hail to the Vikings. They got the W. They pulled off the win. If it was Tom Brady, would have been called the Patriot Immaculate Reception or anything.
That's
so
a good
why
point.
Does it have to
That's
be
a good
the,
point.
The Minnesota miracle is plays that was made. We will win over Philadelphia. I think the spread is like 3.5, which is crazy, crazy close. If it comes down to
Philadelphia's
goal,
tough at home, man. And
tough.
of the backups that are playing right now, they got the best one.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
I take Philly.
I agree.
Because the receivers, you're putting it. You have Alshon Jeffries over there, and you have Nelson Aguilar. So the receivers, to me, are 50-50. Alshon Jeffries is –
they're not 50-50, though.
Alshon Jeffries is bigger than both of those receivers on Minnesota.
He is. But think about this. Alshon Jeffries came from where? Chicago. Minnesota plays Chicago 2 times a year. So they know, you know, his pros and his cons.
Yeah,
so
just like he knows theirs.
Do.
just like he knows theirs. But it's not the same team. The thing of it is that Minnesota's coming from the indoors to the outdoors, which is always a problem, and they're playing on the road.
Man, Minnesota played at Minnesota University of Minnesota all last season. So they're
but what about this season?
Man, what about it?
That's what we're talking about. You're talking about what they played last season. I'm talking about this season. They have to go on the road outside.
Gas icons talking.
Of course. Man. So don't act like that they just have such a big advantage, because they don't.
They do have an
advantage. And the quarterbacks are the same. The quarterbacks are the same.
They played in Green Bay. The Vikings have played in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. They've played in Chicago. So what are you talking about?
But they don't play outside normally. They half their games are in and half their games are out.
And half the Philadelphia games is on the West Coast this year. They play at the Home Depot.
Philadelphia is playing at home in the cold, and it's going to make a difference.
So you have two cold weather teams.
But we can't call them cold weather because they play indoors. That's like me playing in the house. And then you're playing outside. You say, hey, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. I'm playing
in Philadelphia. Did Philadelphia go to Lambeau, where it's the coldest?
They're not that far from it, and it wasn't the coldest this time.
This dude. So you going with Philadelphia?
I'm going with Philly. Okay, just because Andy you're Reed. Going with Minnesota.
Okay, Andy Reid. Go.
I'm
right
not going
back.
With Andy Reid.
Right back home with them Chiefs, too.
I'm Jags this year.
Okay. Well, I'm biked up. I'm biked up. And
you're
I'm rolling
you're on that
Viking
then.
He's on that Viking then.
Haven't you heard the drugs are bad for you? Get this guy over here. I knew he was on something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you like on the other side? Who do you like on? Who do you like with the Patriots and the Jags?
I like the Jags, man. You know, I was with Stephen A. this morning. His ESPN little thing going on. And I really believe that Tom Brady I think his right hand is seriously injured. You know, they're talking about he's going to the press conference with gloves. He's not answering the questions. I really think that he's injured. I think the Jaguars and one of the homies on the Ozone, Calais Campbell, I think they're going to put some pressure on that dude. And when he's down on the ground, they're going to, hey, you know, step on the hand. They're going to put some work on him. They're going to play that one game, win or lose football. So it's going to be real grimy. And I think with the Jags, their defense is just going to apply just way too much pressure to the receivers. And the only way that New England would win is if they go with the deflate gate and the footballs is half the size tomorrow so Brady can throw like it's a Nerf.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Tom Brady and him are always going to be real, but the Jags actually have what it takes to win. What the thing is that they have to do is to commit to the run. For some reason, the run has been lost. It's like, you know, the equivalent of in the NBA now, nobody wants to shoot a 20-foot jumper. Everybody wants to shoot a three. And if you run the ball, it sets up the pass. And the Patriots don't have good pass defense, regardless of what, you know, so that'll leave them open. But we know that Bill Belichick wants to take away Leonard Fournette. So you just need to figure out creative ways to get him the ball. Because if you stay with the run and keep Tom Brady's cold hand on the sideline, that'll be the difference in the game.
Yes. And one of the big differences, again, that I heard this morning is Tom Coughlin is involved.
Hey, This is what I just said. That's who
that
I said
so
wins
huge.
The game. It's huge. It's huge.
That is so huge. And, you know, to jump to the college football thing, Nick Saban and not wanting to do the invest in a solid kicker. Hey, man, he needs to go to the intramural soccer field and find him an intramural person, male or female, that can kick 60
that
yarders.
That can kick. Wait, what is it? I mean, they almost blew that game. They almost blew that game against Georgia behind not being able to kick.
Yeah, and they've blown so many games, national championships or, you know, college SEC championship games because not having a guaranteed kicker. And they need to go ahead and invest one, you know, a partial scholarship,
something.
Alumni scholarship.
Right. Man, I just don't understand why you spend all that money. He's getting all that money as a coach. You spend all that money recruiting kids. You know they're blue-chipping kids. You got a guy whose family moved from Hawaii, even though he gave all praises due to JC. So I got love for him there. But his whole family moved from Hawaii to support him down there. He came out in the second half and balled. And you can't invest in a kicker every single year? You have this same problem? What's going on?
Every single year. You think you don't need a kicker. Come on, man. As we know, just in football, it's like the kicker is hella important.
Right.
You need it. If it's in college, whether it's in, you know, the NFL, you need one. Because when it gets down to the big games, it comes down to, a lot of times, the kicker. So, get him in the game, coach.
All right. Well, last thing I want to ask you about, Victim, is who do you got this weekend with Spence versus Peterson out at the Barclays?
I got to go with Spence. Got to.
Yeah, scrap season. He looks serious. He's up and coming.
I think this is a good test for him. It's a great test for him.
Let me tell you, I think the Kell Brook was a great test for him.
Yeah, Kell Brook just hadn't healed. I would like to have seen that fight go all the way through.
Kell Brook gave him all he could handle.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that Kell Brook's skull was still fractured.
All right, but I'm saying he gave him all he could handle.
Kell Brook gave him a good fight. I feel like Lamont Peterson has that. Like, we can use that as somewhat of an excuse, but for Lamont Peterson coming in like he is right now, there is no, like, gray area for him. So
yeah.
He's bringing,
well,
he's bringing,
except for age. Lamont Peterson's been through a lot of wars. I don't know.
He's a KG veteran.
Yeah, he is a KG vet.
And that's what you need on your resume.
You do. I don't think he's got the thump that Kell Brook had.
Mm-hmm.
But Lamont Peterson, one thing, he's somebody that that Victim and I have watched before many times, back when he was fighting out of D.C. with Amir Khan and all those other fights. And he's somebody that is determined. That's mm-hmm. what I like about Lamont Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't quit.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. There's no quit in him. If you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me. He doesn't really beat himself. That's what I like about him.
Not going to give you the Rigondeaux.
No way. He's going to box. Peterson is going to – he does both. He boxes. He brawls. He's a constant professional.
Yeah.
So for Earl Spence and this fight, it's almost one of those – if Peterson wins, he's back on the map and back as a great contender. But, you know, with losing, it's like, okay, it's just a good matchup for Spence.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I wouldn't want to fight. I wouldn't want to go against Peterson. So for Earl Spence to go ahead and fight, you know, to get this fight.
This is the most impressive thing about confidence. This is the most impressive thing about Earl Spence to me, is that he's not dodging anybody. He'll fight anybody.
And he's been
in
trying to get Keith Thurman out there.
He's been trying to get Thurman. He's been trying to get Danny Garcia. Anybody who has a belt, he's like Gennady.
Yeah.
He wants his belts.
Yeah.
And he wants all of them. And honestly, I don't think any of these dudes want to see Earl Spence.
Why would
they? What he showed me against Kell Brook is he also can take a punch. Because he found himself in the deep.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, he found himself in the deep water against Kell Brook.
He did.
He sure did.
And he had the heart to step up and get the job done.
Yes. Because that, and it was across the water, too.
And it was across. This is what I'm saying. He's willing to go wherever to do whatever. Matter of fact, let's listen to what Earl Spence had to say at the press conference.
Errol, you've talked about wiping out the welterweight division. Does that mean fighting actively, like, three times a year? What does that mean to you when you talk about wiping out the division and being more active?
Well, that means staying active. I haven't been active as recently, due to waiting. I had to wait for my title defense and things like that. And then, you know, I had a lot of guys, not answering the call. You know, a lot of guys, you know, Al's didn't call these guys saying they're not, they reporters mentioned my name, you know, they try to make you excuse this and this and that. Okay, I have a belt now. I went over there and got the belt. So what's the excuse now? And I'm still calling, I have a belt and I'm still calling these dudes out, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, all these guys. He wouldn't be sitting here if Keith Thurman or Danny Garcia or Sean Porter said they'll take the fight. You know, I shouldn't be a world champion having to call these dudes out. And Lamont Peterson answered the call like a real fighter and like a real soldier should do.
So what do you see in 2018 for you? In a perfect world, what do you see for Errol Spence in 2018?
Well, in a perfect world, I'd be unifying with Keith Thurman or something like that. I want to fight three times a year. I'm going to stay active. I'm not going to wait on, I'm not going to wait on anybody or, something you don't get back is time. You don't get time back. So I'm not going to wait around and be waiting on fighters to get ready and, they need to have tune-up fights or they want to fight me in 2020 and things like that. I'm not going to wait at all.
I tell you, man, this kid wants to be great.
And that's how you do it. You go out there and fight everybody, not this politically correct
consistently.
Yeah.
You can't
just like
Gennady
wants to do, but
without fighting.
Exactly. And the problem is with these guys who want to fight and who are good fighters, nobody wants to fight them.
Therein lies the problem.
And also
the punishment that you have to take to be great. Let's just be honest about this. In fighting, no matter if it's UFC, you know, boxing, any combat sport, the punishment that you have to take to be great, most guys aren't willing to take, especially since the model has now been laid out for guys
Floyd,
who can fight once a year, maybe twice a year, make it an event, and make a boatload of money if they can put the characters in this and the other, which has nothing to do with boxing greatness.
No.
It has to do with getting paid, which I also understand. But that has nothing to do with being one of the greatest of all time.
But then the boxing purists get ripped off, and then these guys run around town talking about they're the greatest fighter ever, and they haven't really put anybody on their resume. This kid right here is looking to put people on his resume, and he's willing to put his belts on the line to say, hey, if you can take my belt, then get it. I'll give you the opportunity.
Exactly.
But there's no reason for a guy like Keith Thurman and everybody else talking about, well, you got to earn it and all this kind of stuff.
No.
Earned it. I'm the champ.
You know what? I'm going to put it on the promoters, too, though, because the promoters are 100% going to fight. And then, you know, then you got these other guys that's talking about the UFC. Well, the UFC is on every night and top contenders is fighting, twice a month, it seems like. So it's like these dudes is I really think that Errol Spence will put hands on one time.
Wow. I think that would be a great fight. And that would
friends,
be a great
too.
Fight. Because I love one time.
Yeah, he's a great fighter.
I love one time.
He gets hit too much
one time, and you can't get hit a lot by this kid, Errol Spence.
Errol Spence, to me, is more of a complete boxer. Errol, one time, is still trying to find, is still trying to prove that he can box and he can brawl. Errol Spence is both. He's able to do that, in my opinion. Now, I would like to see Errol Spence go against a kid in Nebraska.
Bud Crawford?
Crawford.
Crawford's moving up to 147, and I think he's going to be in for a rude awakening once he gets there, because there's a lot of guys that actually are on the level. I need to see Crawford get tested, and this is my only thing about Bud. I love watching him fight, but I think he needs to get tested. And a guy like Errol Spence is actually a bigger version of Crawford, and that's a problem. You know what? And same thing with a dude like Keith Thurman. It's going to be interesting to see. Now, to the credit of Errol Spence, he's going out to fight everybody, and the credit to Lamont Peterson. I'm interested to see what these other guys are going to do. And honestly, ring rust is going to play a factor when he finally gets his hands on all these guys that don't fight enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they're going to fight, even if it's not ring rust. You're fighting against a lower caliber fighter, which never is going to—
No. I'm talking about then when you do fight Keith Thurman, when you do fight Danny Garcia. These guys— I don't
they
think that Keith Thurman
like
has fought
a
in a year.
Yeah, Keith Thurman was hurt,
time. Yeah, he was hurt, but I don't know if he's been hurt for 9 months.
Yeah, it was a serious injury.
A serious injury. He got hurt pretty bad.
So even we give him credit for that. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying that even when you fight a fight, if you're not taking fights and then you take a fight against a lesser caliber fighter, when you step in there against a good fighter,
right,
you can't perform. Like that's like going to play from major leagues to double A. You go down there and hit 400 home runs, you know? So it's they have to fight good talent. There's not a way to get around it, to hold your belt. But now these guys are holding the belts hostage. And if they shouldn't,
Well, everybody's too scared to lose that zero on their record.
Right.
That mythical zero has become way more important than what it actually is.
Yeah.
Because
being
undefeated is just
to the
you haven't fought
style,
the right guy
then.
Yet. I love the tournament style. And I've heard some rumors. Let's talk about this because this is a split headlining card because Robert Easter Jr. is fighting Javier Fortuna on that card as well. I like Robert Easter on that because he's got a big height advantage and a reach advantage, and he's a good fighter. But they're talking about – I heard some rumors about if Gennady handles Canelo in May, that they're talking about like the final super mega fight of both of these guys' careers being Gennady and Andre Ward.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for a little while too, and
I wonder if that happens. I mean, Andre Ward seems to me to be happy to be retired. Like, he doesn't come off to me like a fighter who's like, "Oh, I got to get back in." Blah,
yeah, but
blah,
there's
blah,
a
blah,
few
blah,
fighters
blah.
That said that he's going to come out of retirement and fight. And obviously, if they throw enough money around, he probably would come out.
I mean, how would you say no?
Yeah, but
how would you say?
I mean, he's a fighter and he likes to fight.
Andre Ward likes to fight,
yeah,
and so does Gennady. Like, likes to fight. So, is that,
and
you know
I
mean?
Think that if it's a one-hitter quitter, Gennady would beat him because it seems like Andre Ward needs to figure it out. and you would be coming off of that ring rust that you would not need to have when you fight a Gennady.
That's a good point.
Over but a Andre year and Borges, a half.
Yeah.
I think it depends on where they fight. Because if they end up
really,
fighting,
you think the location has something to do with it?
No,
I don't
where
think
they fight
it has
at,
anything
where they,
to do with it.
Both of y'all can both of y'all be quiet for a second? Where they fight weight wise? Oh. Both of y'all
okay.
slow
said,
dudes
where they
sitting
like,
there on the phone talking to y'all. Got rainy day fog in your head or something? Where they fight weight wise? Not where they fight geographically. He's not going to go fight in Kazakhstan. I think if they fight, Gennady's fighting at 160 now. Andre Ward was the pound-for-pound king at 168, and then he moved up to 175 and was the pound-for-pound king. And you factor in the fact that he hasn't fought, that would be over a year and a half that he hadn't fought. Coming back, trying to cut weight. The bigger weight favors the bigger guy in this situation because as much as I love Gennady, I still say Andre Ward is a better overall fighter. He's a better boxer.
Like,
but if they're fighting, depending on what fight weight that they fight at, I'm very interested to see what happens.
I feel like Gennady is one of the most complete fighters that we've seen in the last decade, at least. I mean,
I agree. And I feel that way about Andre Ward.
I don't feel like that
I
with
feel
Andre,
that
Andre,
way about Andre,
Andre
Ward.
Andre Ward doesn't
too,
have the knockout drops with him. And
he doesn't have the knockout, and it takes Andre Ward 4 or 5 rounds to figure out.
Yep.
And I think with Gennady comes in, okay, I'm trying to – you're going to have to fight my fight. With Gennady.
Yeah, he can punish you.
He imposes his will. Yeah.
But you're talking about him
fighting a guy like Danny Jacobs previously, which is going to help him out because Danny Jacobs was about 220 pounds when he fought him.
Yeah.
Danny Jacobs had a refrigerator on his back. Is that
I don't know. I hear what both of you guys are saying, but I would
take Gennady. So that's most of the time I'm always going because he's a complete. I just really have a problem with people not giving him the credit for being I've been watching boxing forever, and he's a great champion, and people don't give him the credit because he could have stayed back there and fought with guys like Marvin Hagler, and that's hard for me to say. But he's a guy that actually could have probably stayed in there back in the day and fought with guys like Marvin Hagler. There's not a lot of the guys out there that you can say that about. Earl Spence looks like he might end up being that type of guy.
I think so too.
Uh-huh. But most of the time, these guys don't enjoy fighting enough, and these guys don't enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and this is all a piece of being great. Floyd can say that he's great, but you cherry pick fights, and you didn't ever put yourself to the test. You need to be battle tested. I mean, these guys don't battle.
Love railing on Floyd
because he ripped the sport off. He hurts the sport.
Yeah, but he's done. Leave him alone.
Yeah, but
it's over.
No, it's not over because he's still dabbling in there. Now they're trying to bring back a little McGregor number two. Man, leave the league.
He just raised the bar as far as getting paid. And
yeah, that's what he did. And truth be told,
he
hurt the sport. I will say he did hurt the sport, but he raised the bar on getting paid as well. I just think that the reason that I never go full bore against him, as much as I don't care for his last 10 years of his work.
You didn't care about his work.
The last 10 years, I didn't care for the last 10 years of his work, more or less. What I will say is when he was Pretty Boy Floyd, he was the best fighter in the world.
Yeah, he was a good fighter. He wasn't the best in the world.
At that point, he was one of. He was top five. He was really, really good. And he cleaned out from 130 to 140 with anybody that was there. He cleaned them out. And those guys were good. He walked through Arturo Gatti and Ward.
He lost to Castillo.
He lost to Jose Luis Castillo the first one. He won the second one.
Yeah.
Some guys just that's all they have is a character. In the world, just like with pitching and hitting, somebody has your number. It just depends on who.
What day?
It depends on what day. It depends on what the matchup is. And the thing is that from 130 to 140. Nobody had Floyd Mayweather's number. I don't care what anybody says. And I saw some absurd conversation, what if people were talking about how they would think Lomachenko would gave it to Floyd Mayweather at 130, 135. No way. Y'all lost your complete and total mind.
It would have been a competitive fight. I don't think nobody would knock nobody out, but it would.
Hey, man.
But at least they would have fought.
Floyd Mayweather used to knock people out back then,
and he was very
Lomachenko
fast.
Lomachenko is not the type of guy that looked like this going to get knocked out.
Extremely
like
fast.
He was. Lomachenko is crazy fast, and you see that Manny Pacquiao and Lomachenko. Manny Pacquiao
I
trying to get
that.
Lomachenko.
I saw that.
And I don't think Lomachenko want to go that route.
At all. And I saw people, I see people, that's actually how I ran into that conversation with people online. Because they were talking about the hypothetical of Lomachenko versus Manny Pacquiao. And everybody was like, oh, Pac's too old now. Lomachenko, give it to him.
That's what everybody keeps thinking. And then he keeps on walking through people.
Lomachenko fights at 135, maybe. So you're talking about moving up to 147 to fight Manny Pacquiao?
You clean his clock. That's what I mean, you talk about him getting knocked out.
I don't know. Maybe he won't clean his clock, but he'll beat him. I still think that he's got enough. He's got just enough. What Lomachenko won't have is a ring experience advantage on Manny Pacquiao. Right.
And you definitely don't have to worry about him quitting.
You will not have to worry. He literally has shown you he's willing to die in the ring. Knock me out completely.
I need to be put to sleep.
And he's showing you that by the fact that he's still willing to fight, even though, truthfully, I would love for Manny Pacquiao to retire.
I would, too.
You know.
But he's still good, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, and they don't want to give him. You know, this Jeff Horn fight, I'm very anxious to see this Jeff Horn situation now so that Jeff Horn can get beat up for his. I feel like I want somebody to beat Jeff Horn up just for how they cheated.
Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, just for how they cheated like Manny Pacquiao. You know, they're talking about Jeff Horn is going to fight Terrence Crawford, and I think Terrence Crawford's going to put the tips on him.
Probably two rounds.
No, Terrence Crawford's another slow starter. But thing is that Terrence Crawford is going to move
Horn
up.
He's a slow bum. He's not even – if Manny Pacquiao –
he was just a bully.
Yeah, if Manny Pacquiao – he fought dirty, and if Manny Pacquiao would have just went at him and just got him out of there, which he should have done, you can't keep carrying guys because this is the product of carrying.
That's what happens when you carry people. Yeah. I mean, he hit Manny Pacquiao hard a few times. You could tell Manny wasn't in his top – he didn't take the fight seriously. Yeah.
And just disappointing. This whole boxing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Angry Black has entered the studio today.
Thank you. He's be here all week.
His name is The Icons. Next victim, thanks for joining us for the conversation.
And get your stats right, bum.
We'll catch you after the games.
Late. Got him on that one.
Oh, man, the ozone.
Yeah, and then to hear you guys go telling me about Peyton Manning, I had to go back to this thing. Ernie, I'm doing this for you. Guess what his third down conversion rate was? 1 in 14. One conversion in third down, and they're going to tell me how he made the difference of third down. Thank you. I rest my case.
And I rest my case because Peyton Manning's going to come up the driveway any minute.
Wait, dude, I was just playing. Omar said it was my voice. We sounded like.
With his ring.
And he's going to put it in my eye and leave an imprint.
It's going to say Super Bowl.
Hey, dude, you better have my back.
It's going to say Super Bowl 50.
Well, I got to tell my mom on it because I went like,
Marvin Hagler.
Tell him, hey, mama, he let Peyton Manning do this to me. Give me my switch.
Yeah. Australian Open action going down right now. Some good matches going on. Rafael Nadal looks like the best player in the world. Again, right. He is the number one, and he looks like number one.
Kyrgios made it to the next level, right?
Kyrgios seems like he's serious. He beat up on Joe Wilfred Tsonga, which I think is a good – he always plays well at home, though. He's in Australia, and he always plays well at home.
He has home field advantage, you know, basically the home court advantage simply because of the weather. Because they're talking about how all those guys out there are struggling. Hot. Like there's 104 degrees out there.
It's cooking. They said, I read something.
Monfils?
Monfils.
Yeah, but he said that the weather, he felt like he was having a stroke. He said, felt like he had a mini stroke.
It's just, Gael. Qu'est-ce qui se passe, Gael?
Yeah, you know, he's going to get you. You know that.
C'est mon pote. J'adore Gael, but I don't know if he's.
I agree with him this time because they are saying that a lot of the players are having problems with.
It's hot. I read. Bethany talked about it and said that she heard that the on court temperature was 142 at one point.
Yeah, they said, and once it gets up to 104 like that, they have the right to suspend if it goes over.
Suspend
that,
play
to suspend play,
and they didn't.
And they didn't because it was right at 40. So everybody got that work.
Wow. That's a tough one. But this is turning out to be a good tournament. Grigor Dimitrov is stepping into his own. You always have to watch out for Roger Federer, who I still think has not dropped a set. I actually really like Sasha Zverev, the young kid that we met, great guy. And I think he's coming into his own. I think this is his year to break out.
Really? Because, when I look at him, the thing that I really feel like he needs to bulk up a little bit. In weather like that they're playing in now.
I don't think that tennis ever – I don't think bulk ever helps you in tennis. I think that the lighter you are, I think you're A-OK. The only time you run into a problem is when you start going five setters back-to-back. And I think that that kid, as young as he is – I don't know how old he is. I think he's in the early 20s or something like that. He's okay. It's not like a Benintendi situation where he's got to play for 9 months.
Yeah, but
6 months.
Being a thin person, I know how the heat affects you, because the heat really wears you down. It melts you literally. And on the court with that type of heat, it'll take away your stamina.
Yeah, they got an IV. The kid's a professional athlete. I think he'll be all right. But when you look at it, to your point, guys like Roger Federer and Nadal are thicker, if you will.
Yeah, they're stout.
Yeah, they're stout, if you will. They're still lean. But very, very strong build. On the women's side, a lot of upsets so far, but on the women's side, things are still moving along. Don't want to give too much coverage because we're still in the early rounds. By the time we get on next week, I think it'll be a little bit more clear who the major players are. But everybody's going to have to deal with that heat. Everybody's going to have to deal with SoCal heat in Australia. So it is what it is. Your girl Ostapenko got upset. And
what about Muguruza?
Yeah, is that how you say her name? I do believe it is. Muguruza. We'll cover that next week. Nice addition of the Ozone, ladies and gentlemen. Want to leave you, a couple days removed from Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but King Day is always a special time, and want to leave you with a quote from the Good Doctor. And it is, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Ozone. We're going to be watching a lot of sports this weekend, and then we'll report back to you early next week. You got my word on it. Talk to you soon. Ozone.
Ozone.
I'm just living the dream. I'm in love with the light. This is